Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 13:24-30 and Matthew 13:36-43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And now the reading from Matthew 13:36-43. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of God for the people of God.
In the days of Jesus, agriculture was king. And it wasn't just to make a buck. It was a matter of life and death. Jesus spoke to the agricultural nature of the people, helping them to understand the need for being fed with the right spiritual nutrients, for the weeds of their hearts to be managed, for the pruning of the parts of their lives that kept them from bearing fruit. Join us as we dig in, get our hands dirty, and learn how to bear fruit for the kingdom, starting with good dirt.
Would you pray with me? God of grace and God of mercy, we want to grow in our faith today. We want to grow closer to you. We want to be drawn into your heart and learn what it is to be part of your field and part of your kingdom. Lord, we also pray today that the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock, our Savior, our refuge, and our Redeemer, and it is in your name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Before we took our daily questions to Google, where did we go when we needed an answer to a question? Ask family? Ask friends? Read a book? Ask an expert? And some of us took our questions to work. Well, back many years ago, one summer when my big sister and I were about 10 and 7 respectively, my dad had a big question with which he wanted some help. And what was the subject of that question? It's the subject of our sermon today. The topic is weeding. W-E-E-D-I-N-G. My dad was having trouble with some weeds in the field. Well, back then, my dad's question was about how to get rid of certain weeds in the garden. I grew up in a rural area, and my dad grew some big gardens. I mean, football field size gardens, and I'm not exaggerating, and there was more than one. And my mom, my sister, and I were the free labor. And every now and then we'd get rewarded with a trip to the community swimming pool. Well, this particular summer, one of those football field-sized gardens was overrun with this particular kind of weed. It was a milkweed. I want you to see what they look like. Milkweeds are a mixture of good and bad. They're about 4 feet tall. And what's so good about them? Well, they're beautiful, for one thing, and they're also vital to the life cycle of a monarch butterfly. And those pods on the left are very useful. Back in World War II, they were used to make life preservers for soldiers. And so this plant has a lot of good things going for it. So what makes it also kind of bad? Well, they're toxic to grazing animals like cattle, and also they are really hard to pull up, and they can overtake a field in no time at all. They multiply rapidly. They can choke out the good plants that you want to be there, and the milky substance for which they're named can make your skin break out, and it's harmful to your eyes. Milkweeds were the reason for my dad's question that summer. They were taken over, and my dad did not know what to do. So he took the problem to his dad and to his work. How do you get rid of milkweeds, he asked. Well, each one of his co-workers had an idea, and so did his dad. There are lots of opinions, right, when it comes to how do you get rid of weeds. There are also whole industries built around it. In fact, if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, there are aisles of products like Ortho Weed Be Gone and Roundup and hand tools like small trowels that you can use to get the weeds out of your garden. Well, the consensus from my father's co-workers and his dad that summer was that the best way to get rid of milkweed in the garden is to pull it up from the roots by hand. Oh, my dad did not have time for that. He worked long hours and he worked long weeks. So he came home that day and had a deal for me and my sister. And he said, I will pay you 1 cent for every milkweed that you pull up by hand from the roots in the garden. That next morning, we were on it. This time we could make money doing the hard work we normally did every day. So my sister and I decided as we started pulling weeds, we'd put them in piles. Not piles of 10, not piles of 50, but piles of 100 each. And each pile was going to be worth, what? $1. My sister pulled 1,600 milkweeds that day, 16 piles right there at the side of that football field-sized garden. I topped out at about 400. Telling my sister that I felt sorry for our father at having to give us so much money. I think I was really tired of pulling weeds that are taller than I am. When my dad got home from work that day, we ran out to the truck to meet him, and we walked him out back to the garden, and he was flabbergasted. And he gave my sister $16, and he gave me $4. And then he raised his price. We'd only get 1 penny for every 5 milkweeds, and we were not so motivated anymore. What is your story of weeding? Have you done much of it in your life? Do you do much weeding now where you live? If not in a vegetable garden, maybe a flower bed or planters or your lawn. My husband works tirelessly in our lawn to get rid of weeds like Japanese stilt grass and crabgrass and nutsedge and something called Creeping Charlie. And he uses those products from Lowe's and Home Depot and crawls around too on his hands and knees, pulling them up by the roots. Weeding is hard work. So Jesus has good news today for all of us who know what it is to have the job of pulling weeds. The good news, we can stop. hang up the trowel, throw out the Roundup. Jesus says we can stop weeding for good. Let the weeds grow right alongside everything else. It sounds crazy, I know. It flies in the face of gardening advice. It flies in the face of farmer's advice and my grandfather's advice and the advice of all the people in my dad's office at work that day. What in the world is Jesus thinking? Well, Jesus' teaching about weeding comes from Matthew chapter 13. In the verses that Pearl read for us today, it's a parable. And if you've got your Bible with you or your Bible app, or you can use the one in the back of the pews, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. And while you're finding that, I'll give you a little bit of background on parables. A parable is a story. It's an indirect style of teaching that Jesus often uses. It's not usually an allegory, but he'll craft a story about the kingdom of God, what it's like, how it grows. And he uses everyday objects and characters to which the people who were listening then could relate. The stories always have a twist, some unexpected meaning that challenges us, stirs us, and expands our thinking and how we understand the kingdom of God. And the stories, like Jesus, continue working inside us to help us grow. And in this sermon series called Good Dirt, we're using some of these parables and other scriptures about planting and weeding and pruning and growing to help us learn more about the kingdom of God. Last Sunday, Pastor Jeff got us started and he taught a parable, that first one that shows up in this chapter in Matthew. The story about the farmer who was flinging seed here, there, and everywhere. Pastor Jeff called the farmer incompetent because he was not doing what farmers would normally do. He didn't cultivate the soil or lay out the rows or put the seeds in by hand and put a little fertilizer in and cover it up. No. Jesus threw that practice literally out the window and said to fling the seeds of God's love and grace here, there, and everywhere, much like the pollen is currently flinging itself, right? Here, there, and everywhere, on your car, in the parking lot, in your face, looking for that good soil in which it can grow the next generation in God's doing, in God's time. Well, today, Jesus gives us this second gardening parable. This one's found only in the Gospel of Matthew, and it is a parable that yet again offers terrible gardening advice while simultaneously giving us profound wisdom about the kingdom of God. So, verse 24, Jesus is teaching the crowds, and he says, "The kingdom of God is like someone planting good seed in a field. And while everybody's asleep, an enemy plants weeds in that same field. And no one knows about the weeds until the plants start to bear grain and it's harvest time. And then the servants of the gardener notice. They ask about it, and the gardener figures out an enemy has planted them." Verse 28, the servants ask, "Do you want us to pull the weeds?" Verse 29, the gardener, surprisingly, says, "No, leave them. Don't. If you pull the weeds, you will uproot the wheat right along with it. Let the weeds and the wheat grow together, and at the harvest, the plants will be sorted by the harvesters. The weeds will be put in piles to be burned, and the wheat will be put in piles to go in my barn." Verse 36. The disciples ask Jesus to explain the parable. The crowd's gone now. Jesus says, "The farmer's the son of man," Jesus. "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of God, those who love God, and the bad seed are children of the evil one. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters, the sorters are angels, collecting causes of sin, interestingly, and weeds to burn. And separating out the good wheat, the righteous, who will shine in the kingdom of God." What is Jesus talking about? He is not talking about gardening. He's talking about planting and growing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And in that field, weeding does not help. It hurts. And when we try to do the weeding as the servants of God, it causes more problems. Why would Jesus tell us to stop weeding as a way to grow the kingdom of God? Well, putting the story in context helps us to understand it more deeply. And we find out in context that the weeds in the first century to which Jesus is most likely referring are a plant called darnel. Darnel is a poisonous weed, and it looks a lot like wheat. It has nicknames like wheat's evil twin and false wheat. And the roots of the two, when they grow together, get intertwined. And so if you pull up one, you end up uprooting them both. And the biggest problem is that it is really hard to tell the difference between the two until the grain, the fruit, the harvest comes. Check it out. Here are pictures of wheat and darnel side by side. Can you tell? Which is the weed? Which is the wheat? Look how similar they are side by side. Look at a second picture. What do you think now? Here are pictures of wheat and darnel side by side. Which one is the weeds? Which one is the wheat? Can you tell a difference? Look at the next slide. What do you think now? It's hard to tell, isn't it? Weeds or wheat? Jesus is telling us to not pull the darnel because we can't tell the difference and don't know what will ultimately bear good fruit, good grain in the kingdom and what will not. And if we pull one that we think is something, we will end up harming both and will likely judge prematurely and get it wrong. The parable is a reflection on the kingdom of God. It's also a reflection on all of us. Because most of us are like milkweed, a mixture of the best of who we are as children of God and the worst of who we are as children of God. We're this mixture of, say, good and bad. We're a mixture of faithful fruit and harmful sin. And Jesus tells us to stop trying to weed or sort or think that any of us get to decide this person's in, this person's out, remove this, keep that in the community of faith. Jesus is saying we as human beings can't tell the difference. And if we judge, we'll judge prematurely. As God's not done with any of us yet. Thanks be to God, right? Think about it. Jesus is saying, yes, there is evil in the world and there is good seed. And discernment's a good thing, but sometimes it is really hard to tell the difference. And when this gospel was written, who looked like the wheat and who looked like weeds? The disciples not that long ago when this had been written had all denied Jesus. The disciples had all walked away. They had gone into hiding when Jesus was killed. Judas betrayed Jesus, and Peter did too. Said he didn't even know who Jesus was. Not once, not twice, but three times. Weeds or wheat? The Pharisees were really good at following all the religious rules and looked great from the outside. Weeds or wheat? How would you know who to pull, so to speak, or who to leave in the field of the kingdom? Take a snapshot of any one of us through the years, and it may be hard to tell the difference. Think about it. Look through characters in the Bible who are all, like us, milkweed, a mix of the best and worst of ourselves. Abraham lied about being married. More than once. Joseph was arrogant, a show-off. Moses was a murderer. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. Jacob was a cheat and a liar. Samson was a brute. David was guilty of adultery and having someone killed. John the Baptist, well, he ate a lot of bugs. And he dressed kind of funny. Matthew was a hated tax collector, considered a betrayer of his own people. Mary Magdalene's story was questioned. Paul held people's coats so they could kill a Christian. In fact, his biggest goal at that time in his life was to get rid of Christians. Weeds or wheat? Take a snapshot of any one of us in our lifetimes. If we start pulling somebody we think is weed and doesn't belong in the kingdom, we will mess that up. Amen? A lot of people of faith might look like Darnell to us when God is growing some powerful wheat. We would make premature and incorrect judgments about others when we would not want anyone to do that to us. Even when we seek to be faithful, right? With all that we are, Scripture says we still mess it up. Think about Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I love that verse. It says we don't understand our own actions half the time. The good that we want to do is not the thing that we do, and the very thing that we don't want to do is the thing that we end up doing, Paul writes in Romans. And remember that old story about a person coming to an elder in the church and saying, I've got these two sides in me that I can see. One side is graceful and compassionate and kind and considerate and merciful and forgiving. And the other side in me is judgmental and harsh and vindictive sometimes. Sometimes hurt other people on purpose. Which side in me will win? And the elder responds, it depends on the one that you feed. Weeds or wheat? Feed the wheat, my friends. Feed the wheat in our own lives in hopes that we give each other grace to grow and ask God to give that same grace to us. As human beings, we have a proclivity to think that we know how to judge, don't we? This one in, that one out. And we like to draw lines and set up litmus tests to say these are in and those are out. And every time we do that, we put ourselves inside the line and draw it in such a way to make that happen. It's like when we were kids and made up our own clubs, right? And we wanted to let in the treehouse only the people we wanted to include. And then we'd exclude the people we didn't want there for any reason that we would make up. Well, unfortunately, as we get older, we are still wired the same way. Churches have problems with it too. Denominations, organizations, systems. We still have problems with it our whole lives, wishing we had God's authority to define who gets to be in the kingdom, weeds or wheat. Jesus teaches us in this parable that that is not our job. Never has been. Only God has the authority to do any sorting in the end. Only God is the one with the authority to make that call on anybody. And we don't control who gets to go in the barn. This parable shows us that. Scripture shows us that again and again. We don't control who gets to go in the barn. Only God does. It was never our job. Our job is to grow in the field, side by side. And our job is to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, good grain that makes a difference. As a church, we've been practicing different spiritual practices as ways to grow in our faith. And for this month, we've been encouraging people to try journaling. So if you're trying that this month, here's some questions you want to jot down or think about. Maybe you want to journal about them. What biblical characters would I have thought were a weed? who do I have a tendency to think is a weed today? How would I describe that person? In what ways am I quick to judge another human being? What sin do I like to point out in somebody else's life that I don't wrestle with myself? Christ, have mercy on us. Help us, Lord, to stop doing that. Instead, may we be asking, what kind of fruit am I bearing in the field? Is my following of God evident to others? Because boy, don't I want it to be. Lord, help me grow fruit for you. How do we respond to this passage today? Hang up the trowel, throw out the Roundup, and stop weeding. Say that with me. Stop weeding. And if you're joining us online too, we're going to say it one more time together. Stop weeding. Amen. Stop weeding for good. Focus on growing fruit instead. And Scripture tells us what fruit looks like. Scripture says, Galatians 15, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Judgment is God's business, not ours. Let us grow side by side, seeing everyone in the field through the lens of grace, the way we'd like to be seen ourselves. Judgment is God's business, not ours. So let us grow side by side and see everyone in the field with grace. God is the only one who does any sorting. That's not up to us. Remember, we're part of the field. So be the wheat, my friends. Feed the wheat and get on with the business of loving God with all that we are and living out our faith in God by loving others as well as we can and loving our neighbors, living out our faith and growing by the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the good news is that God's not done with any of us yet. Amen? Amen. By the grace of God, let's grow in that field together.